Chapter 49. The Final Stretch. Mei Ling was standing on a stool as Hui Li fixed Mei Ling's mother's dress around her. It fit well, for she and her mother had roughly the same build, though it had been a bit loose in the chest and tight at the hips. Hui Li had been uncomfortably subdued since the Song brothers had stayed with Jin. It had been 15 days since her father had returned without them, with private news about Guo Zhen and Yun Zhen. Yao Cha, her father, Tang Zhen, and Hu Li had all been on edge. While the menfolk had gone off into the forest near the village to try and tap the maple, she had gotten the unenviable task of keeping Hu Li occupied. So she was stuck as a dress-up doll as Hu Li poked and prodded at her. Jewelry was given to her and discarded as swiftly as she finished putting it on. Her hair was brushed so much she was worried that it might start to fall out, and she didn't know how much more braiding and tending she could take. But she kept silent while Hu Li worked. The normally jovial woman looked pale and ill, her face pinched with worry.
No, how about this one?
Hu Li muttered as she braided Mei Ling's hair into a style she knew was from Hu Li's tribe. A little inappropriate for a wedding, but the style did look nice. The feathers were rather fetching.
Master is beautiful gorgeous,
Rizu squeaked happily.
Thank you, Rizu,
Mei Ling responded, nodding to her able student as Hu Li moved away to begin rummaging through a box. Rizu was progressing well. Mei Ling hadn't been joking when she said the rat was better at studying than her little brother. Though when little Xian was upstaged by a rat, he'd begun taking his own studies with a bit more seriousness.
Not this one either.
She turned around and approached, her hands reaching for Mei Ling's hair again.
Hu Li,
Mei Ling whispered, catching the older woman's hands. Her elders started and looked away, embarrassed. Her hands shook a little.
I'm sorry, Mei Mei.
Hu Li began, fidgeting slightly in her grip. She sighed and took a deep breath.
A mother worries. It's all right, she said. But I trust Jin. He won't lead them astray. Besides, those idiots are probably hitting each other with sticks right now or jumping into a freezing river.
Hu Li snorted, some of the tension draining out of her shoulders.
That does sound like my boys,
she mused, shaking her head. Hu Li pulled her into a hug.
Thank you, Mei Ling.
Mei Ling rested her head on top of Hu Li's, the stool making her, for the first time, taller than her friend's mother.
Now, let's get you out of that dress,
Hu Li decided.
I think we've mostly narrowed down the hairstyle and the jewelry. We'll wait for Mei Hua to make the final decisions.
Mei Ling nodded as she began stripping out of the dress her mother had used with Hu Li's help. It didn't take long until they were seated at the table and having tea. The front door opened up, admitting Xian, Che, and Tong Zhen. They all looked tired. Hu Li perked up.
How's the syrup coming?
She asked. Xian held up a single jar, the size of a large gourd. This is all we got from the harvest. There's only one tree that we could find, and even with Jin warning us, it consumed more fuel than we thought to boil it down enough. I don't think it's worth pursuing at the moment.
Tasty, though, Chu mused. I can see why Jin was so excited.
Tong Zhen said nothing, merely sitting beside his wife. Mei Ling perked up, wondering what the syrup tasted like, but she was interrupted. There was Qi approaching the village. One was Jin. She wouldn't mistake the spicy smell of winter for anything. There were two more, half hidden by Jin's smell. They were achingly familiar, two scents that she had gotten so used to that she hadn't even realized they were missing until they returned. The smell of wood and loam, like a forest in the height of summer. A little bit like medicine. The nostalgic smell of Hongyao Wu.
Yun and Go are back,
she whispered, and all heads at the table snapped to her. The syrup at the table was abandoned as they rushed outside. They did not have to wait long for Jin to appear, pulling his cart. But this time, instead of the Song brothers riding, they were running alongside Jin, looking absolutely exhausted. Hu Li captured her husband's hand, her eyes open fully as she tried to see anything different about her sons. The distance disappeared, and Jin waved in greeting.
Hey, everybody, he said cheerfully. Wonderful day, isn't it?
Like hell it is,
the brothers chorused, glaring at him.
You made us run all the way from your place. I feel like my legs are gonna fall off, you bastard!
Gojin moaned while his elder brother just slumped down, gasping for air. Jin, ever cheerful, simply ignored their threats.
I've got presents, he declared, hugging Mei Ling, then clasping Xian's forearm in greeting.
He reached into his cart and pulled out a jug the size of Mei Ling's torso.
We got a lot more than we bargained for. Man, the trees were just going like crazy.
Some of the tension dissipated as Jin chattered away about their time making syrup. Gojin complained about how exhausting qi use felt, while Yunzhen just lazed about groaning. They were acting the same as they always had.
Now you've got to try these. I brought some eggs, but do you guys have any milk?
Jin was a whirlwind of excitement, eager to show them all something. Mei Ling's father took him to the kitchen, while Chu went to get him the milk he wanted. Yunzhen sighed.
He's been going on about pancakes ever since we finished up the syrup.
He sounded irritated.
Refused to make any for us, even though he gave some to the animals before he got to make some for Mei Mei.
He rolled his eyes as they sat at the table, the sounds of cooking echoing through the house. Both brothers looked absolutely fine, and their parents didn't seem to know how to broach the subject. How does one ask their child if they were planning on becoming soldiers or leaving forever? In truth, how was a man supposed to use the power of cultivation? Mei Ling decided to cut to the point.
So, what are you two planning to do this year? She asked.
The Song brothers looked confused.
You know I'm going to be at Jin's this summer, Gojin said. He's teaching me how to grow rice.
I'm up with Ma's dad in the north,
Yunzhen relayed, laying on his back and staring up at the ceiling.
Not joining a sect? She asked again.
The brothers looked at each other, and they both chuckled.
What, and meditate all day to defy heaven? Sounds like too much work,
Yunzhen dismissed, scratching his stomach.
Besides, have you heard what Jin did when he was a cultivator? It's bad enough doing my own laundry, let alone 100 other people's.
Tongzhen laughed, and Hu Li let go of her husband's hand.
Well, it's good to know you haven't changed, Hu Li declared, rolling her eyes. So, what does it feel like being... like I've got a fire in my stomach? Everything is clearer, I can see better, everything is just more,
Yunzhen said, looking at the palm of his hand.
You're okay, though,
their father asked.
Yeah, Gojin said, I think we'll be just fine.
Jin came in at that moment, plates piled high with what looked like hundreds of layers of his pancakes. They were thin as a sheet of paper and perfectly circular.
Order up, he shouted cheerily.
We're not going to be able to eat all that, Mei Ling sighed.
They taste best when they're hot, so dig in, he demanded, serving out layers to everybody.
And then he reached into his jar with a ladle and poured the entire scoop of syrup onto the pancakes. Mei Ling obligingly cut part of the cake off and dunked it in the syrup. She did have a bit of a sweet tooth. Stars exploded in front of her eyes. She shoved the next bite into her mouth. When she looked up from her cleaned plate, she saw Jin staring at her with amusement.
Did you even taste that? Jin asked her.
She grabbed another stack of pancakes.
How many times a week can we have these?
She asked. Jin laughed.
Well, if you liked that, have I got something else to show you? Here, I'll need some snow and some sticks. First, you boil the syrup a bit more, and then you drop it on the snow. When it hardens up from the cold a bit, you use the stick to gather it all up.
She listened fondly to him, a warm feeling blazing in her stomach. It was rather gratifying to see how much everybody liked the syrup, especially Mei Ling. The little sounds of absolute enjoyment that she made, rocking back and forth happily, 10 of 10. The rest of the village loved the snow candy too, though we had to deal with a whole bunch of kids hitting maximum sugar rush, and I hadn't brought Chunky to wear them all out. I had also tried some of the stuff Xian had made, but it didn't taste as good. Maybe the tree was in a bad place, or they didn't filter it as thoroughly as I had. Speaking from experience, sometimes the homemade syrup just didn't turn out that great either. It was good that I'd made the Song brothers come back and meet their parents, too. Though I hadn't phrased it that way, I had just said I had things to do in Verdant Hill and they needed to come along. But I think they figured it out. Hu Li and Tongzhen had looked really worried at first. Since it was late in the day, most people were getting ready for bed, but I had one last thing I wanted to do before going to bed, and that was to explore the forest a bit. I wanted to see if I could find the baby moose. I was just pondering what direction to head out in when I heard Tong Zhen call my name. I turned to the man, who looked as calm as he ever did. Tong Zhen seemed pretty unflappable, a pretty big contrast to the fiery youth Hu Li had told me about. The man stood with me at the entrance to the forest and clasped his hands together in respect, bowing so low he was parallel to the ground.
"Thank you for taking care of my sons."
It was honest and earnest, full of gratitude. I had, after all, done something that would put a normal family in my debt for generations. I shrugged.
"Friends help friends," I replied earnestly.
The man straightened up and smiled. It was the same smile Guo Zhen had, so wide it looked like it hurt a little bit, with an undercurrent of mischievous but good-natured glee.
"I was going to say I was in your debt, but I don't think you would accept that. So instead, do you need any help, my friend?"
I pondered the question for a moment. Tong Zhen was a hunter, good at tracking animals, and there was a particular beast around here that I wanted to see.
"Do you know where the Thunderhoof might be?"
He seemed surprised, but he nodded.
"I know where its tracks lead. It's quite close tonight."
We set off into the forest. We were headed off in the direction that I had encountered and killed the wolf during my visit. Sure enough, the part where I thought I buried it was disturbed, the grass underneath the snow eaten. We kept walking. At Tong Zhen's speed, it took about an hour. The forest did not have the silence of the winter. Tonight, it was above freezing, and the forest was making dripping sounds as the snow truly began their melt. Tong Zhen's feet were silent, even as he padded through the weak, unstable snow. Mine were quite a bit louder. He paused, then pointed through the trees. Sure enough, there was a moose. It was about deer-sized with a small set of antlers. Well, small for a moose, they were already damn big. A handsome beast it was. As we watched, I noticed something. A small bit of electricity sparked between the prongs of its antlers. It turned to regard us. Tong Zhen tensed. I bowed my head slightly to the animal. No, it was probably a spirit beast now. It had a spark of intelligence in its eyes. The moose regarded us for a moment more and lowered its head. I was satisfied. We left it in peace. I took one last trip to Verdant Hill before I got married, just to grab some last-minute things and pick up a few people. Things like my new bed, nice cotton sheets, down duvet, mattress, the works. It cost surprisingly less than other beds, because I didn't like the feel of silk sheets. It would be left in Hong Yao Wu on the way back. The bride was supposed to bring the bed with her, something I hadn't noticed last time during Mei Hua's wedding. It was kind of strange to me, but hey, I'm not going to disrespect anybody's customs unless those customs involve ritually sacrificing people, in which case I'm disrespecting the shit out of them. The other part of the custom was the dowry and the bride price, which did make me a bit uncomfortable. Just hearing bride price made alarm bells go off, but really they were more like wedding presents than me actually buying Mei Ling. I think Xian would have poisoned the first person to mention trading Mei Ling like a commodity. In any case, I would be grabbing Ting Fong, Mei Hua, and Uncle Bao after I finished loading everything onto my cart and running some errands.
"Grandmother,"
I called, standing outside the worn-down hut. Lan Fan, the goat, stared blankly at me and chewed her cud.
"Whatever it is, I don't want to buy it,"
the old woman grumbled as she exited her shack, shaking her broom threateningly.
"Oh, you. What's your name again, boy?"
"Jin, grandmother."
"What are you here for, boy?"
"I'm sorry I couldn't find you at New Year's, but I wanted to give you a gift. You were right, I really did need a cat." "This is from me," I said, with a smile at the grumpy old lady. I handed her a small jar of maple syrup. "It's not much, but it's pretty tasty." The old lady sniffed at the bottle.
"I hate sweet things,"
she said bluntly. Well, not everybody can love syrup. "And, well, this one is from the cat." I put the little wooden cat, the perfect likeness of Tigger, into her hand. The half-blind old woman stared at the carving. She started laughing, or, well, more like cackling. After a minute of wheezing, she stopped and stood up from where she was doubled over.
You're such a strange boy. Really, a cat carving this.
Her grin was just slightly too knowing for my tastes. Her good eye rolled around in its socket before settling on me.
Shoo, boy, shoo. Trying to trick an old lady.
She swept her broom threateningly at me. I went.
Jin,
she called after me when I was a ways away. I turned around.
Keep working hard, boy.
As always, Granny,
I shouted back. Next was the Lord Magistrate's office. The man wasn't in, but his wife, Lady Wu, was there. I hadn't really gotten a good look at the woman during New Year's, but she was rather pretty in a dignified sort of way. Oddly enough, her hair already had streaks of gray running through it, but she didn't look old. I gave her the maple syrup because the Lord Magistrate was out. Apparently, some of the villages often flooded, so he was on tour, making sure the preparations were up to the standard he had set. Nice lady, the magistrate's wife. Finally, the exchange and picking up the people I needed to get. And then I was on my way to Hong Yao Wu again. Uncle Bao's voice went surprisingly high when I started running. We hit the town while it was still daylight, and I unloaded everything I could unload. On my way back home, I went through a checklist of everything I needed and had. I couldn't shake the feeling I was missing something. A smile stole across my face as I realized what I had forgotten. Oh, Mei Mei's face is going to be absolutely hilarious when she sees what I went back to get.